In 1913, the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston sent a curator to excavation sites in Egypt and the modern-day Sudanese Nile Valley. The curator's findings helped set off what the museum acknowledges is a biased misperception of the ancient Nubian Empire. WBUR's Cristela Guerra is here with us now to talk about how the MFA is grappling with this legacy in an exhibit that's up right now. Hi there.
Hi, Bob.
So let me start this way. As I understand it, we see the MFA wrestling with, or at least confronting the way it spread misinformation, some would say racist misinformation, about the Nubian Empire. And we are going to get to that. But first, tell us what this exhibition looks like.
This is a big exhibition. It's called Ancient Nubia Now. The gallery is 10,000 square feet. It's cavernous, it's expansive, and filled with over 400 pieces, some of which the MFA hasn't shown in decades. They're from three different capitals of ancient Nubia. So the Nubian Empire has origins in 2400 BCE, and it was advanced, it was prolific. They made sculpture, metalwork, and jewelry. So the exhibition is really this multitude of rich cultural artifacts.
And all of these artifacts were brought to the MFA by the same curator in the 20th century, George Reisner. How was he influential?
So the MFA partnered with Harvard to send Reisner to Egypt and an area of northern Sudan from 1913 to the 30s. He was renowned for his methods. He was very good at his capturing of artifacts and keeping records and taking pictures. But he proliferated false and prejudiced misconceptions about the Nubian Empire. He cast the Egyptians as light-skinned and more advanced, and falsely painted the dark-skinned Nubians as barbaric and underachieving. Here's Denise Doxey, a curator at the MFA.
Well, he certainly got wrong that they were never able to create any wonderful art or important monuments on their own. And he attributed everything that was really of high artistic value or really monumental as being Egyptian influence at work, which now is known to be incorrect.
So those findings began to go out of fashion quickly after his death. It did become part of the canon of Egyptology, archaeology, and art, and frankly shaped the Western world's perception of this complex society.
All right, let's talk about one aspect of that. Tell us more specifically about one of Reisner's falsehoods about Nubia, the notion that one Nubian city was actually Egyptian.
So at one point, Nubia actually conquered Egypt and brought back Egyptian sculptures as spoils of war. Reisner found some of those artifacts in a tomb in Nubia, and he mistook the ancient Nubian city of Kerma as an Egyptian outpost and claimed that there was an Egyptian governor over it. He thought that the Nubians could never rise against Egypt. What we now know, especially since archaeological work that was done in the 70s in Sudan, is that the two civilizations were actually really close. Here's Doxey again.
They have sort of a love-hate relationship in that they, at certain times, they trade. There's a lot of interconnection, intermarriage. And other times, they're at war with one another. When Egypt has a period of weakness, Nubia will take advantage of it, and vice versa.
So Doxey adds that people tend to lump Nubia with Egypt, or call it Egypt light. But it was actually a very distinctive culture.
So if we want to see this exhibit, Ancient Nubia Now, we should move pretty quickly because it closes this month.
Oh, yeah. It's wrapping up on January 20th.
All right. Cristela Guerra, reporter with The Artery, WBUR's Arts and Culture team. Thanks a lot. Good to see you.
Thanks, Bob. You too.